Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Shartok. It's an open forum today and we throw it open to your comments on two huge stories that have been dominating international news broadcasts for some time now. The rapidly unfolding situation involving Ukraine, Crimea, and the Russian Federation. And what has been called the largest land-sea search in history, the hunt for the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. To participate in today's discussion, and there are four free phones right now, call 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. President Barack Obama is gathering allied leaders for a meeting in Europe next week to discuss further action in response to Russia's involvement in Ukraine. White House spokesman Caitlin Hayden said Obama today invited leaders of the G7 and European Union to meet on the sidelines of a nuclear summit next week in the Netherlands. Hayden said it will focus on what steps the group can take to respond to the developments in Ukraine. Pardon me. Members of the G7 include the United States, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and Britain. The group already has suspended preparation for a G8 summit hosted by Russia in Sochi that has been scheduled for June. In the mystery of the disappearance of 370, that Flight 370, the plot continues to thicken. Now, Thailand's military says its radar detected a plane that, now they tell us, that may have been Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 just minutes after the missing jetliner's communications went down, and that it didn't share the information earlier because it wasn't specifically asked for. A spokesman for the Thai Air Force said today the plane followed a twisting flight path to the Strait of Malacca, which is where Malaysia radar tracked Flight 370 earlier, early March 8th. But the Thai military isn't sure whether it detected the same plane. Asked why it took so long to release the information, the spokesman said, because we did not pay any attention to it. He said the plane never entered the airspace and that Malaysia's initial request for information was not specific. Well, you can join the conversation, 1-800-348-2551. There are two free phones open now. Or you can comment on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Or you can tweet us at wamcvoxpop or email voxpop@wamc.org. And thank you all for participating. The only thing that we want to make sure of is that we keep it civil, you know what I mean? Okay, so now let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Okay, Bruce, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I have a different take on Crimea, Alan.
Sure.
And I'll develop it very quickly as possible. I think the United States is on the wrong side of history. Crimea had been part of Russia for some hundreds of years. I don't have the exact date. Russia certainly doesn't want to give up their Black Sea Fleet base at Sevastopol.
Right.
I don't know, culturally, historically, the charge of the Light Brigade took place in the Crimean War. I think Yalta is in the Crimea. I don't know what other cultural things there are. I listened carefully to the roundtable this morning, and I was glad that you brought up Texas. The war with Mexico, and then we took Texas.
But yeah, Texas fought for independence. Once it was independent, guess what?
Exactly. But I'd like to contemporize this further. In the annexation that took place, I think it was, 1870s or something, we annexed New Mexico, Arizona, California, and maybe parts of Nevada and Utah. But anyway, let's take just California. Let's say that all the people of Mexican descent decided they wanted to be part of Mexico. You think the United States is going to listen to any?
Yeah.
I mean, even culturally right now, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, these are all Spanish names.
And there was something called the Civil War, you may remember that, Bruce, in which some people decided to go somewhere else.
Right, and do you think we're going to listen to anybody and give up the naval base in San Diego or Hollywood in Los Angeles or San Francisco, or Yosemite, or all the farmland? We're not going to listen to anybody. You know,
But in this case, Crimea, just for the sake of argument, because I know where you're coming from, was traditionally Russian, and then it went over by virtue of Nikita Khrushchev giving it over to Ukraine. And so the conditions were a little bit different. Then they took it back. Obama, it's interesting because Obama is in a bad spot. The righties are yelling at him and calling him names. And, McCain is saying he's a weak president. But I think my own personal view on this is that what do you want him to do? Everybody I argue about with this, I say, OK, what should he do? Nobody has anything to say. So
I agree with you. It's a very difficult spot. And I don't know how, it's going to play out. But I guess he has to do certain things, just to
politically. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I think Crimea belongs with Russia. Very quick comment on the Malaysian flight.
Sure.
I just had a hunch that this plane was landed somewhere.
Mm.
And I think it's been very carefully, intelligently worked out ahead of time. Now, I really don't know. I'm not an expert on any of this. That's just a hunch, but so far, the stuff that's coming back, I think is, just giving more credence to my hunch.
Well, it's an extraordinary situation, and one of the things that something like this opens up, Bruce, is that we're able to, and anybody's able to make up any one of these scenarios. I've been kidding around by talking about, the spacecraft which came down and sucked it up.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
But everybody has a theory.
But since this is now like 10th or 11th day, if it landed somewhere, it could have been very well hidden by this point.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they've had over a week to hide it.
Sure. So, hey, Bruce, thanks for the great call, and thanks for being the first caller. Appreciate it.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. That opens up one free phone. Let's go to Cliff in Kingston. Cliff, you're on.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
We're doing good.
That's good to hear. Does two characters from the past ring any bells to the situation in the Ukraine and Crimea?
I'm sorry, I'm not following.
All right, I'll give you a hint. One had a little mustache, and the other one had a big handlebar mustache.
Right.
But if you looked at him the wrong way, he'd shoot you in the head.
Yeah. Yeah, so what
you Adolf and Joe.
so you think that what Putin is doing now? Remember, the Hitler. His first moves were just prelude to everything that came afterwards.
He was trying to put down the countries that the people who were of German descent were living in.
Yeah, sure. But do you think that's what's going on here? Do you think that this is the prelude to a whole bunch of other things? They might go into Moldova, or they might go.
Yeah.
You think that's what's happening?
I'm beginning to think that's what he's thinking of doing.
He denies it. He's got a lot of troops on.
Hitler denied it too.
Yeah, that's true. And he's
and
got a whole bunch.
He sent his army. He sent his stormtroopers in.
Yep.
What did Putin do? He put his soldiers on the border of the Crimea and also on the border of the Ukraine.
And that's where they are right now.
Step?
And that's where they are right now, by the way. Huge numbers.
Take one step over and you got war.
Uh-huh. Do you think that there's a possibility he's doing it just because he's playing chess so that, he's basically saying to the Europeans and even more to the United States, hey, you guys make a move and then, we're going in. You know, he doesn't have to say it, but, just by putting him there.
He's rattling his sabers and flexing his muscles because he had the Winter Olympics this year.
Yeah. Well, you think
and
it's because he had him?
He comes to this country and they show him a trophy and he says, oh, look what they gave me. I'm going to take this home with me.
Okay, Cliff, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to RJ in Albany. Okay, RJ, we're running out of time for this break. Go ahead.
Okay, I think that the Crimea is something that the Russians, because it's a strategic location for their navy, it's a very, very important thing for their military to to have that base on the Black Sea, and I think they will fight like, you know, like nothing, like, you know, like...
Well, they got it, RJ. Hey, RJ, they don't have to fight for it. They got it.
Yeah, they got it, and I think that probably it's, you know, not worth having a big war over trying to get them out.
Well, okay, let's assume we all agree with you. What happened to the guy right before you who just said he's afraid that this is like Hitler, this is a prelude to the next invasion? What would happen, what would you do if, in fact, they decided to take all of Ukraine?
Well, if they decided to do that, then that would be really something that would
be something. What would you do?
A big war.
That's not my question.
I wouldn't agree with that.
What would you agree with?
I wouldn't agree with Russian taking over
I don't think
Ukraine.
But
I think that there's parts of Ukraine they may claim as part of Russia. I wouldn't be surprised.
And then what should we do?
I think that we should, you know, decide what is the most that this Russia could take.
Okay, is there let's assume we decide they shouldn't have taken what they took, but okay, we have to live with it. We'll put a couple of guys on a list. They can't come to the United States. But what if they go into the next country? What would you do, RJ?
It depends on what the next country was. You know, I grew
up
in the Soviet Union.
What if it were Poland?
Then that would be something that would be unacceptable. That would be a major war. I would say get them out. They don't belong in Poland. That's a whole other story.
What if it were Estonia?
Same thing. I'd say the same thing. Any of the Baltic republics, I would say the same thing.
Okay. RJ, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Tim in... Tim, stay right there. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Tim, Jonathan, David, stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC goes from Unison Arts New Paltz, presenting the Mohawk Mountain Stage's production of Equivocation by Bill Kane about Shakespeare and truth-telling in difficult times. Directed by Christine Crawfus, March 21st and 22nd at 8, unisonarts.org. The Honest Wade Food Co-op, located at 100 Watervliet Avenue in Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, specialty foods, and more, honestwade.coop. And Sylvan Learning Center is providing personalized tutoring in math, reading, writing, study skills, SAT and ACT prep, and more, sylvanlearning.com.
And we are back. Tim, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, this summer, for the very first time, the Russians are hosting a Formula One circuit race, which in the automotive competition world is a really big deal.
Okay.
And I would hope that maybe Bernie Ecclestone and the powers that be will start talking about boycotting it.
My, that will smart, won't it, Tim? I mean, you know, considering the Goliath-like issue here, do you really think that would make a difference?
Well, it would be, they put a lot of money into doing this, and it would certainly have a high profile amongst a lot of people. It would just be one more embarrassment.
Okay, man. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Right. Okay. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551, 2 free phones. Let's go to our friend Jonathan in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, bring it.
I just made a couple of comments. Firstly, I think Crimea has no strategic value to the Russians or anybody else.
Clearly, they think so.
Well, they say so, but they have a navy there of 28 ships.
Yeah.
Half of which can't get out of the harbor because they're so obsolete and obsolescent. The second point I make is that NATO, which is, as you know, a mutual defense agreement, does include Poland, Bulgaria, and Romania, and the Baltics. The third point I make from a geopolitical point of view is that Ukraine is easy to occupy from the east, but not particularly from the west, because you have the Carpathian Mountains to get through. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the objective correlation of forces, the real border for the West is Poland, Romania, Bulgaria.
Yeah. Okay, Jonathan, let me ask you if the same thing I just asked RJ. What would happen if they did go, if the Russians did go into another country, what would you do?
Which country?
Moldova.
Well, I don't know whether Moldova is a member of NATO. I don't think it is.
Okay, so...
But if it was a NATO member, then I think you do what NATO was created for, which, as you will remember, a wit said it was created for three things: to keep the Russians out, to keep the Americans in, and to keep the Germans down. And at this point, it's a question of keeping the Russians out. That's what it's there for.
Okay, Jonathan, I think that's a little evasive, to be honest with you. And you call enough so that I think I can speak to you man-to-man about this stuff.
Of course you can.
Yeah, okay. So,
so therefore, what I'm saying is, nothing. I don't think there's a reason to defend Ukraine, but certainly Poland and the other members of NATO.
Okay, so if they came, if he's got a lot of troops on the Ukrainian border right now, Putin does, and if they came over that and took the rest of Ukraine, Jonathan's rule would be leave them alone.
Absolutely.
Not mine. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate the call. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to David in Cambridge, New York. David, you're on.
Oh, hi. Actually, as far as the fellow who preceded me is a hard act to follow. Quite frankly, the whole bloody thing scares the daylights out of me.
It does
look an awful lot like 1937.
Yeah.
But as at a vague attempt at levity, I'm just going to briefly change the subject because, this stuff scares the daylights out of me. I'm afraid I know too much about it, so that's why it scares the daylights out of me.
Wait. What do you know about it?
Please, we don't have enough time.
Well, give me a little hint.
It looks like a history repeating itself. It looks like the Oompa band ought to play "The Bear Went Over the Mountain."
Okay, all right. Moving on, and to your levity.
Here's your levity. I thought of you last night. I was watching Jeopardy last night, and Carl Reiner and your friend decided to recreate the role of the 2,000-year-old man for an entire category, and you just instantly came to mind.
Well, it's my favorite thing in the world. So
I know. So I don't know.
I think all common contemporary wisdom comes from the 2,000-year-old man.
I'd like to hear what he has to say about it.
Yeah, well, I know he'd tell you to stay out of Italian sports cars and never eat any fried foods. Hey, David, thank you very much for the call.
Appreciate it. My pleasure. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Jim in Gilderland, 1-800-348-2551, 3 free phone. My goodness. Go ahead, Jim in Gilderland.
I think Putin is, two things. One, I think Putin is a much worse person than people acknowledge. I think he's a KGB thug, and I do think he's trying to recreate the old Soviet Union. And the other thing that people, I think, need to keep in mind is that I think the Russian military is actually much weaker than we think. We give them too much credit.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have pointed that out. But on the other hand, they do have, I mean, we're supposed to be the only superpower. But they've got bombs. I mean, they've got H-bombs and A-bombs and N-bombs and whatever else you want to talk about. And this makes it a very scary situation.
Well, it does, and I think the Western powers in Europe and South America, I hate to call on South America to actually step up and do some heavy lifting here, but they're rich countries, and we should not have to do all the military, diplomatic, and we should not have to do all that work ourselves.
Okay, Jim, but let's cutting to the chase. What should we do?
We should put sanctions in, severe sanctions, and Russia is much weaker than we think, than is perceived. Its economy is much weaker, and we put sanctions in, and the Russian people will demand Putin's resignation or his leaving office because it's just a weaker place than we think.
Well, it may take some time, Jim, because, in fact, his popularity has soared during this whole thing.
Yeah, well, that's like a poll. But when they start not having washing machines and cars from the West
And then the West doesn't have the oil and the natural gas.
Actually, we do have all the oil and all the natural gas.
Who does?
And we can supply Europe with oil and natural gas.
Well, that's interesting because, as you know, Germany, I think 40% comes from Russia.
Yeah, that's because we're not allowed to exploit our oil resources and our natural gas resources.
So let me, not without making too much trouble, you would frack in order to supply them in a time of emergency.
Oh, I not in time of emergency.
You just frack.
I would frack right now, and that would this whole issue would disappear. And Putin is like smart enough to realize that America is not going to do hydrofracturing, and America is not going to drill for oil on federal lands. And even though we have that, we have more than they do, and we can export that to Europe and other countries. And that he's taking advantage of that, and he knows that we're reluctant to do that because he knows that our press, our media, is criticizing the hydrofracturing activity and also.
Okay, got it. So just to cut to the chase, because there are a lot of people behind you, your answer to this crisis is to frack now.
No, I wouldn't say it that way. I would say that hydrofracturing is an important thing we should be doing, and the more important thing is that we should get all of our allies in Europe, Western Europe, and say we're not gonna be beholden to Russia for our natural gas supplies and our energy supplies. America has more than enough.
You know, one of the great things about dictatorship, it has oft been said, as Putin says, get the oil, they get the oil. In a country like this, where Natalie Merchant and so many other wonderful people say, wait a second, we don't want to do anything until we know whether it's going to despoil our water and stuff like that, there gets to be a different approach. In other words, democracy is not always as convenient as dictatorship.
No, but the evidence is in on fracturing. The evidence is
I don't know about that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it is. It is. Is that the research, the Department of Energy says that there have been no cases of fracturing that has despoiled drinking water supplies. The EPA administrator says hydrofracturing can be done efficiently, effectively, and safely.
Well, but that's the president's EPA, and the president
wants
to have
fracking. Yeah, President Obama.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, so he's supposed to be a liberal, and he's supposed to be this this guy who's so concerned about the environment, and his own agencies say that it is safe to do it.
Okay, well, listen, interesting that we have taken this turn. Jim from Gilliland, I really appreciate your views on this, and thanks so much for doing them. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Dave in Pittsfield. Dave in Pittsfield, your turn.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Jim took a lot of what I was going to say. I think that we really should stay out of it. I'm just tired of U.S. being the world's weightlifters here with our military. We do too much all the time. The rest of the world is constantly crying that we stick our nose where it doesn't belong. I served for 18 years, and I served in Iraq and saw that we weren't wanted there. And
interesting.
It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And I think that we should just stay out of this. Unless it becomes where it is a repeat of what Hitler was doing and he starts exterminating people, then it's a whole different story.
Okay, but what if he goes into Moldova, one of my favorite places in the world because my niece is there. So what if he goes into Moldova?
I think we're talking about, it depends on what he does. I mean,
what if he goes in and says, okay, we're annexing Moldova?
Then take it. It's none of our business.
I see.
If he's not slaughtering millions and millions of people, if he's just going in and saying, hey, this is ours, what business is it of ours?
Let me ask you a question because you piqued my interest, and I'm sorry. And it is not meant disrespectfully, but
No.
It's my interest. You said you were there for 18 years, but they didn't want us. Why'd you stay?
What's that?
You said you were in the Army, you serviced in the service for 18 years,
yes.
And it was clear to you that they didn't want us there, but you stayed for 18 years. How come?
I was in Iraq for only a year.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That was just my tour.
Okay.
But they didn't want us there. I had to stay. I didn't have a choice. If they said you can go home tomorrow, I would have gone home.
Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Brian in Poughkeepsie. Brian, bring it.
Two things. One, the borders of Europe often are changed, and what we look at as countries today as having their own integrity really aren't necessarily countries. They were created by powers much larger than those entities. That's number one. I think that's true. Number two is, who in Europe is spearheading the anger and the angst at these moves? And shouldn't they be telling us we need your help rather than us driving?
Well, we keep hearing it's because of the oil and because they need what Russia has. Is what if that were the case and we're the superpower and they look to us, which we've often played that role.
Well, I kind of feel that if this is a repeat of 1937, 1938, you know, they were late to the party there. They really saw that happening. And it seems like they should be more sensitive to this, even though they're, you know, they rely on Russia for energy.
Okay, so I take it you're saying, Brian, stay out.
No, not necessarily stay out. I'm saying they should be saying to us, come with us, mm-hmm. rather than we saying, we're going to spearhead this thing.
Well, how many times have you seen us say to them, say to us, if you're following me, say, you go to Tony Blair, for example, say to us, come in, even though it was us saying to him, say to us to come in. A double, triple fake out, in other words.
Well, why aren't they more concerned, Alan? I mean, you're a pretty smart guy, and you've got a lot of smart listeners, and I would really be interested to see what people have to say about that. Why aren't, it seems like they're not as concerned as we are at this point in time.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't really know. I mean, Angela Merkel picks up the phone and calls Putin, we hear, and tells him to get out, and then goes before the microphones and says some pretty strong stuff. So you think she's just play acting?
No, I don't know. And I believe this, that they can exert tremendous pressure. I mean, if all of Europe isolates Russia, it seems to me they're back where they were in a period of time that got them in tremendous economic and political trouble.
Well, there is that. That's a very good point, Brian. That's a very good point. So right now, we haven't gone that route. We've put 24 guys on a no-fly list. And I don't think we've put Putin there because, after all, it's Putin's game, right? I mean, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned that this morning. Nobody called up and said, yeah, Putin is on the list. So maybe he is, but I didn't hear that. So, you raise a couple of very good points. What about Europe taking the lead in this, and why aren't they doing that?
And also, Alan, if we can just... You know, we really have to, I think, and you know more about this than I do.
No, I don't.
We have to look at the map of Europe as a kind of arbitrary thing. It isn't,
Hitler thought that, too. It was arbitrary.
No, I don't mean from the point of view of what Russia wants to do. I just mean you have all these ethnic groups of people who were thrown together because somebody said, yeah, let's draw this border. And I mean, the Middle East, that's the Middle East, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Brian, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for this show. This is a wonderful show.
You're terrific, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We heard from Bill, who said, what do you think about the reports that the plane was spotted by ground observers flying low over the Maldives Islands? I have no idea. Didn't hear it, but I read it because you sent it in. Let's go to Bob in Pleasant Valley. Okay, Bob, 1-800-348-2551, one free phone. Go, Bob.
Hi, Alan. A very interesting case. And this is just my two cents, my opinion. I'm not an expert. But I have a feeling that Putin wants to go down in history as the man who reunited the Slavic lands of traditional Russia.
Possibly.
Which means the Ukraine, Moldova, and Belarus, White Russia.
And let's remember, though, Bob, that Stalin put a lot of Russians, you take over a country, you put a lot of Russians in there, perhaps envisioning what's happening now.
Yeah, except a lot of Ukrainians identify as Russians.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the word Ukraine in Russian means the edge.
Mm-hmm.
It means the edge of the Russian nation.
Mm-hmm.
But after World War II, and you know, it became very complicated politically. But I have a feeling.
Well, I think Khrushchev wanted to give it back to himself, to tell you the truth, because he was Ukrainian.
But so, he had no idea that the Soviet Union was going to collapse. So it was like trading, moving a chair in your living room.
No, that's an interesting point, Bob. You know? Thank you for that. Go ahead.
So just my two cents. I just feel like Putin has an agenda, and Europe, is as long as he stays within Ukraine and Moldova and White Russia, I doubt Europe is going to do very much about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's only if he tries something with a NATO country.
What if you were king and he did something? He marched into any one of those former Russian Federation countries. Would you do anything about it?
Well, I think he's going to do it the same way. He's going to call for a plebiscite, and he'll fix the vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it won't be with guns, I don't think.
Well, you know, the former presidential candidate John McCain has been very critical of Obama, saying he's a weak guy. Is he?
I frankly don't think Obama can do much. I mean, what can he do?
That's my view.
You know,
that's certainly my view.
Only what he can do, and you know, it's not that.
And the last thing we want is a war with these guys. But on the other hand, if you have a Russian president Putin, who believes that he could get away with anything he wants, will he get that? Will the former KGB colonel, you know, get that rush? I agree with you, by the way, about making Russians hold up their heads and saying, you know, we lost a lot, but I'm going to bring it all back to you. And by the way, right now, somebody earlier said, well, we'll just wait till the sanctions take hold.
Right now,
his popularity is through the roof.
And one more point, if I may. You know, the Russians experienced revolution, you know, back in 1917, and they got 65 years of hell, basically, after it. So they're very wary of any revolutions. Like the Ukrainian revolution is very dramatic to us and stuff like that. But older Russians see revolution as like, wait a second, do we want to go through this again?
So interesting that you say
that. They want stability.
That's so interesting that you say that. When I first came to New Paltz 40 years ago, I was teaching a class, and there was a math teacher there, and the families were allowed to take courses, and there was this old lady. And in the class was a guy with hair down to his behind. And he stood up, and he put his fist in the air, and he said, come the revolution. He says, come the revolution. So this little old lady stands up and says, listen, I was there, and you wouldn't have liked it, and you would have been, you would have been the first guy they shot. So it's interesting that you say that. Bob, thanks for the call.
Appreciate thank you very much. Okay.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC goes into Tang Tisha Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. 518-580-8080. Saratoga Bridges, Ballston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, support and employment, day services, and more, saratogabridges.org. And Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, a college prep boarding and day school for students in grades 8 through 12 with learning disabilities, dyslexia, ADD, and ADHD. EHS1.org.
Well, we're back. Thanks to Zach. Zach brought us back. And it's poetry if you went to a public college and poetry if you went to a private college. Let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris in Albany. Go ahead, man.
All right. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling. I'm wondering, it seems like it's all been happening so very fast, but it seems to me like there was some sort of democratic process in Crimea that is being undermined by reporting, but I haven't heard very much.
What do you mean undermined by reporting?
Well, it's not by reporting. I haven't heard enough about why we, as I guess our government, is taking it and calling it words are escaping me right here, but they're basically saying that the voting process.
That's right. They said the voting process was loaded. That has been bought. So I thought you made a good point. That has been bought by many people who say things like, you know, in one precinct or town, there were more people who voted than there were in the town. And so we're getting these anecdotal, you know, sort of stories. But
right.
it would appear that it was an overwhelming vote for for going back to Russia. It would appear that way.
Right. I'm wondering why we're being so heavy-handed with sanctions while this democratic process seems to be so overwhelming.
Well, but don't you think that there's a whole political substructure to this thing? In other words, that you got John McCain criticizing the Democratic president. They're meeting at, you know, all night long in the White House and saying, what are we going to do to show we have some guts so that people won't believe this and so we won't go down below 39%? Don't you think that's the way government operates these days?
Yeah, I guess I do. I'm just wondering why it's coming to this. Like, why aren't we necessarily being involved in other places where human rights violations are?
Oh, well, you don't know that. That's another whole story. That's another whole story. Yeah. And that is always raised. But, you know, the old saying goes, two wrongs don't make a right. And and somebody inevitably brings that up when there is a question as to what we should do. Okay, Chris, I'll ask you the question I ask everybody else. He goes into Poland. What do you do?
Well, if we goes into Poland, then we've got to continue, I guess, considering whether or not it's done democratically or whether it's being done.
Oh, well, I'm assuming, considering their revolution, that it ain't going to be democratic in Poland, and he does it anyway. A la Hitler.
Well, I mean, then we're dealing with an animal of a different shade.
Oh, okay, so it's an animal of a different shade. You're the president of the United States. What do you do?
I don't know. I don't know if I continue on an isolationist path. I don't know. That's why I'm not president.
Okay. Chris, that's a good answer. Appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Patrick in Poughkeepsie. Patrick, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. I kept not taking your call as long as I could possibly avoid it. That's a joke. Go ahead.
All right. Well, listen, I'm against us going in, taking any military action. I think Putin is behaving very poorly right here. So I would definitely pursue the economic sanction route as much as I could. And I've actually been to Ukraine. I've never been to Crimea before. I've been to Kharkiv, though.
Well, how come you went? Why'd you go?
This is about 2 years ago.
Patrick, our man on the ground in Ukraine, how come you were there?
Friends.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I'm a little bit attached to this issue. And let me tell you, Ukraine is a great country. It is just fantastic. The people there are so good. My heart really goes out to them that they're being intimidated like this. But I just don't think that we can use military force against Russia. I just don't.
You know, there are people who say, I've gotten letters saying, you don't know what you're talking about. And I get them every once in a while, surprisingly. And somebody said, you know, there are a bunch of fascists in Kiev. And these are all Nazi types. And the progressives are the people coming over the border. What do you, since you've been on the ground, you can report to us whether that's true.
Well, yeah. Well, what about last year when they had the soccer FIFA Cups and the people in Ukraine and Poland were so bad to the black players? They were throwing bananas at them. They were making monkey noises. I mean, that's part of the culture there. You can't deny that. And the Svoboda Party is basically almost identical to the Nazi Party. And then if you look at Yulia Tymoshenko's party, it's called All Ukrainian Fatherland. Now, do you think that's a good basis for a political party in a country where 25% of the people are Russians? All Ukrainian Fatherland?
But with all of that, said, the Patrick approach to further annexation would be.
Well, Putin's success is based off of his economic success right now, and that's because he's basically, just undertaken all these neoliberal reforms, and
I don't know. I don't think the Russian economy is in great shape.
Well, I mean, look at their gas. I mean, just like the other guy was saying. And that's another point. We already are fracking, and we already are producing oil. It's happening in Texas, in Montana, in western New York.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. I mean, we're not dependent upon his gas, you know? Not for long, maybe for the next couple of years.
But he also mentioned it's verboten to send it anywhere outside the country.
That is true. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, Patrick, I'm so glad you called. Our man on the ground in Ukraine reporting in to us. It's Patrick from Poughkeepsie. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate your call.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Lee in Ulster. Okay, Lee in Ulster, you're on.
An anecdote and a comment. The anecdote is I was a dorm director for the state university system at one point. I had an Armenian and a Turkish kid in the same building. We had to move one of them. They would get in roll-on-the-floor fist fights on a regular basis.
No kidding, yeah.
This was in the 1970s.
Right.
And so the thing that I say is that Europe is small. there are countries that are the size of states here. These people have been living, brushing up against each other's skirts for a long time.
Well, the Armenian-Turkish thing is another whole official.
There's another
color.
Whole thing. Yeah. But the point is to me that Europe is very reluctant to get into pissing matches with the schoolyard bullies because they can't. These people are never going away. They're going to be there the next day and the next day and the next day.
Yeah. So for all of you who call up, let's avoid certain words. Only because I value our license.
I'm sorry, did I?
No, I don't think you went over the line, but I just want to take the opportunity to say, let's everybody.
I apologize.
That's all right, to watch
so
it.
It's,
okay.
And I have listened to you ask the question about what to do if he continues.
Yeah.
I heard a commentator say basically that Russia was a big gas station. That's what it was. And that more than 50% of the oil comes out through lines in the Ukraine. But if, in fact, you cut off their ability to get that product out of the country, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of his.
Well, don't forget that that Ukraine is a big recipient of a lot of that energy. And in fact,
yes,
they've been threatening to cut that off for a long time. The Russians do every time they get into one of those matches you just mentioned.
Well, the isn't most of what's supporting Europe going through the Ukraine pipelines?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just simply saying to you, the Ukrainians are using that energy also. And when they get into a fight with Russia, Russia threatens to take their energy out also. You got it?
Yes.
Okay.
And the only other thing I want to mention,
sure,
because I think this is a misunderstood, is that it is not easy to move natural gas long distances. It vaporizes. It disappears. It's highly toxic. It explodes. All kinds of terrible things happen. The business of moving natural gas is a very expensive business, and getting it halfway around the world would be a very difficult thing to do. It's not like moving oil.
I got it. Yeah. Okay. No, I get it. Listen, it's complicated, isn't it, Lee? And you're always a terrific guest. I'm so glad you're with us. And I just want to mention, everybody gets one turn in this thing because sometimes people get excited enough to want to call twice, and we try not to do that since there are so many people on the phone. You're not one of those people, Lee. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. Bye.
Let's go to James. Let's go to James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Yeah, I'll be quick so other people can get on.
Sure.
I don't think that bombs solve problems. I think that talk solves problems, and I think that our president is doing the best he can do.
So far I agree with you. But what if Putin is the kind of guy who says, they're just a bunch of talkers, I'll use force?
Well, but also I have, you know, like that's how, you know, World War II, and I'm not, then I think of Chamberlain, and I think that wasn't the solution. And, you know, believe me, I've worked with a lot of Polish people, you know, in my job.
Yep.
And they didn't like having their company run over.
No, indeed.
You know, like.
No, indeed. I mentioned that before. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
You're right
about
that.
But that's not going to leave it there. I can let someone else.
Well, how are things in Hudson, all right?
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Whatever. Let's go to Ryan in Albany. Ryan, you're on.
Alan, how are you?
So far, so good. Don't ruin it.
Big fan.
Go ahead.
Anyways, I'm a military, retired 22 years. I was Special Forces.
Wow.
And
thank you.
I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, if I was Obama at this point, I'd be more concerned about the loss of this plane than what's going on in Russia at this point. And let me explain why. To me, there's too many things unanswered about this flight. First of all, when you have a transmission that comes over that says, all right, good night, I'm wondering why we're not hearing what the transmission before that from the tower was. You know, why did this captain respond to that? You know, your caller earlier talked, and it's kind of my theory as well. What if this plane right now is in a hangar somewhere?
Sure.
You know, what if these decals on the planes were taken off, and they're looking to use this for, you know, some type of attack against the United States or allies or whatever the case may be.
Mm.
I mean, it's a very realistic possibility.
Mm.
planes that typically go down like that, whether it's military or civilian, you're going to find them. I mean, it's just, if they hit the water, there's going to be debris. Mm-hmm. I just don't see, I'm concerned about it. I mean, I really am. You know, they had talked also about these cell phones that, you know, the people were calling their family members on the plane, and the cell phones were actually ringing. You know, you could also ping these cell phones.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning, but apparently not. So one of the theories was that somebody may have gone around and collected all the cell phones.
Well, you know, that's possible as well, but they did ring, you know, a day or two after the flight actually, you know, apparently it went down or whatever the case is.
What always gets me, Ryan, here is the fact that we are keep hearing the Malaysians tell us something that happened 2 days ago. The Thais just now tell us that, well, they were tracking a plane.
Right.
You know, this is very scary stuff. Ryan, the one thing we can say is that anybody can come up with a theory now, and they can all scare the hell out of you.
You know, and that's I'm not big on conspiracy theories.
Yeah, right.
I'm big on, you know, on logic and facts. But the thing about it is I don't think that these countries that are right now, like you said, you know, giving us information 2-3 days later, I don't think they're sharing the information that they actually know with the United States, because I think they're afraid find out. I mean, they don't want eggs on their face to say, you know, how they just lost one of their planes.
Well, they won't let us. They won't cooperate with us. I mean, we've offered to give them Uber help, and they haven't taken it.
Exactly.
Hey, Ryan, I got to let you go because we're coming so close to the end. Thank you,
Alan,
so much.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let's go to Olga in Albany. Olga, it's got to be very short. Go ahead.
This is Olga.
Yep, go ahead.
I was born in Kiev. My grandmother was born in Kiev.
Gotcha.
And they didn't consider, they didn't say they're Ukrainians. They were Russians living in Ukraine.
Okay, so?
Now, that's how a lot of those Russian people feel.
Sure.
Now, shouldn't their feelings be considered here?
Yeah, well, that's...
I mean, they voted in Crimea.
We had an early caller who said that's what democracy is about.
Yeah.
You got to listen to that. And how come
they're not going to become Ukrainian nationalists.
Okay, so my question to
ever.
You. Ever. No, so I'll get my question to you, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Why are you here if your whole family felt that way about Russia?
Because we were DPs.
Yeah.
My father left Ukraine in 1943.
Right. And so you came here.
Yes.
Okay. Olga, thanks.
And the U.S. made us come either to 4 different countries. They said we can't stay in Germany.
Okay.
We wanted to stay in Germany in the U.S. zone,
yep.
But the U.S. told us we have to come here to Canada, Argentina, or Australia.
Olga, thank you for the call. I wish we could spend some more time. You sound like a fascinating individual.
Okay.
I'd love to talk to you sometime. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Bruce in Buskirk. Bruce, go.
Hi, Alan. Somebody before said that, you know, why aren't the Europeans doing more about Ukraine? And it seems to me that they're an economic union. They, you know, they actually are not going to engage in it in the way that John McCain is talking about. That's kind of like...
So they're not a United States of Europe. They're an economic... the EU is an economic group, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and... You know, when I was in UWW, I went to a Skidmore class with Professor Bob Ammeter.
Know him well.
And he said, you know, follow the front page to the business page.
Uh-huh.
And my goodness, if I had never done that, I wouldn't know how to think.
Okay, but you got one more second, so tell us what the bottom line is for you.
I think we should leave it to between the Russian oligarchs and the American monopoly capitalist, that'll, like, stabilize everything. It's an economic thing as much as it is. It's not really as ideological as we're talking about it all the time.
Okay, Bruce, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very
much.
Thank you. Let's go to Dave in Hinsdale. Dave, you got a minute. I mean a minute.
1 minute, quick. Everyone's so eager to send us over there. If they're going to join the military and do the fighting for us, then fine, let's go. But if you're not going to join and you're not going to send your kids, quit being so eager to send us soldiers over there because I'm sick and tired of fighting.
But wait a second. Who are you talking to? Uh-oh. I don't get that one. I didn't say to send anybody over anywhere. Okay, so We're out of time. Too bad we left it on a downer. But I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize to Patrick and to Olivia. We're not going to be able to get to you today. Next time earlier, support for the Vox Pop comes from Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington for seed starting supplies, blooming spring tulips or daffodils, and weekend garden classes, wardsnursery.com, and the Beechwood Group of Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, serving not-for-profits and individual investors, Mary McDonald, financial advisor, and Joseph Steiniger, CFP, financial advisor, thebeechwoodgroup.com, and H. Haust and Son, True Value Woodstock, New York since 1932, a local store featuring hardware, Benjamin Moore paint, and tool and equipment rentals. True Values start right. Start here. Haust.com. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. He's terrific, isn't he? Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. He's also terrific, isn't he? Thanks to our fill-in producer, Ray Graff, for his usual amazing job right on top of things. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. Stay tuned now for a news update.